Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
We ask that you would put in our heart exactly what's in your heart. In Jesus' name. I ask you not leave during the message, and if you have to leave, then please just remain out, because this is just radically important. On October 28th, of 2007, in Ocean Isle, in a little house called Changing Channels, that's along the water in Ocean Isle, along one of the canals, group of students from USC and one from Clemson had gotten together for a weekend while USC was away playing a game, When they did, they were just enjoying each other and enjoying folks from the neighboring beach houses, as a lot of college students were down there. And they went to bed late in the evening, and somewhere before 7 o'clock on the 28th, a fire started going through the house, and the wind was blowing horribly that morning, and it just made it like a match. And the house was just instantaneously consumed. And there were 7 college students that all lost their lives on the second floor of that house. It was horrific. And I cannot get my head around what it would be to be one of those moms and dads that know that your baby was in that fire. Imagine what it was like for Lauren's parents, or what it was like for Cassidy's parents, or William's, or Allison's, or Justin's, or Emily's, or Travis's parents. Imagine what it was like for Andrew, who got out himself, but his little brother William didn't get out. And imagine what it was like for Tripp, who jumped from the window into the canal and made it out and was calling back trying to urge his friend to jump, and they never made it out. And I'm going like, oh God, what would you do? You know, I mean, like, oh, how do you get your head around that and your heart around that? And imagine what it would be like if you could somehow stop that from happening. What if you just knew it was going to happen? What if all you got was just this knowledge, it's going to happen? Changing Channels, little house on the water in Ocean Isle, is going to burn. It's going to be an inferno in a matter of seconds. It is going to happen. What if you knew that? How desperately would you be pleading with every kid in that house, get out, get out, get out. Don't spend another second in this place. How about if you knew it, but you didn't know when? How about if you knew for sure it was going to happen, it's definitely going to happen, and people in that are going to die a horrific death, but you didn't know when? You knew it could be tonight or tomorrow night or a week from now, a month from now, or 6 years from now, or 60 years from now. You just knew it was going to happen. Imagine what that would put on you, because you would be in a place where it would be like, not only do I want to get you out, but I want to make sure nobody else ever goes in, and I don't want you to ever get complacent and go back in. Stay out, stay out, stay out, because it's going to happen. I just don't know when. That's exactly where Peter was. Peter knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Remember that God was perfectly revealed in his son, Jesus, and Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. Peter had been told, it was extremely clear, there was no doubt about it, that this kind of travesty, this kind of horrific, terrible event was going to actually happen on a global scale. The whole heavens and the whole earth, that, Peter said, is going to happen. There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that that's going to happen. I can't tell you when. It may be tonight. It may be tomorrow. It may be in 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years, or 6,000 years. I don't know, but it's going to happen. And so Peter was in a place where he was desperate to let everybody know, look, you are in a dangerous state. It is imperative that you get out of that state. It is imperative that you be safe and free now. And don't you ever forget it. Don't ever get complacent and go back into that place. And so he's saying it's going to happen. Come out. And so the first thing that Peter's saying here in 2 Peter chapter 3 is he says this. Oh, I'm so sorry. My clicker's not working. If you have a discussion guide, it basically says something to this effect. Listen up. Don't ever forget, what is going to happen. Listen up. Don't ever forget what is going to happen. There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen, and I don't want you to ever forget it. So here's how Peter said it. He said to the people that he was writing to, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. And then he says, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. He's saying, I don't want you to ever forget. You remember he was doing that earlier as we were studying last week. He was saying, look, I want you to remember the truth. Remember the truth. Remember the truth. This is going to happen. Don't you ever forget it. You need to know the truth. And here's the truth that the prophet spoke, that Peter spoke, and it was essentially this. Yes, the God of creation is going to deal with sin and the evil that happens on this earth. How many people have ever thought, like with ISIS, when is God going to stop that? With rapists, when is God going to stop that? You think about the evil in the world and the people hurting people. When, God, are you going to stop the adulterers? When are you going to stop the liars? When are you going to stop the abusers? When are you going to stop the evil on this earth? And what the prophets had said and Peter said was, he is definitely going to do it. But here's the problem that the prophets and Peter both made us aware of, and that is that when it comes time to deal with evil, he isn't dealing just with their evil, he's dealing with our evil. He's dealing with anyone who would have to say, I have done things that brought harm to other people. I have done things that would mess up heaven. And that includes me, and it includes you. And so Peter had said, here's what the prophets have spoken. This is what our Lord and Savior has made clear through his apostles, of which Peter is one. He says, here's the truth. Evil will be dealt with. And when it comes to evil being dealt with, that includes all of us. And so when it comes time to destroy evil and eliminate evil, if you and I hadn't had something dealing with us, we will be the ones he's coming to destroy. And so he says very clearly through the prophets and through Peter, he said, but here's the beauty of it, is that you've got a God who loves you so much that he sent his son into the fire for you. He sent his son into the pain for you. He sent his son to give his life to rescue you, to actually pull you out, to bring you to safety, to forgive you of your sin. And so he's saying, first of all, I've given my son so that you could be forgiven and you could be saved from what you would get if you got what you deserve. But secondly, he gives us the gift of saying, and by your invitation, I'll come into your heart and I'll begin to make you fit for heaven. I'll make you like myself. And so he says, it's all going to burn up. I'm going to destroy the evil on this earth, but I'll give you two things. I'll forgive you for the evil you've done, and I'll change you so that you're ready to stop living an evil life and start living for me. And I promise you that once I start that, I won't stop it until I'm finished. In fact, when it comes time for you to die, or when I come back, instantly you'll be made like me. So get this picture. He's saying, here, Peter's saying, don't ever forget this. God's coming to destroy evil on the earth, and all of us are in that category. And he's made a way to be saved from that destruction, and that is to receive his forgiveness through his son and receive the power to change through his spirit in us. And he's saying, it's for everybody. Just accept it. And then Jesus had told Peter and the other disciples, he says, look, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take those of you who have received that forgiveness and have received my spirit. I'm going to take you to be with me. But everything else is going to be destroyed because I'm going to get rid of all this evil and people are going to stop hurting people. And so with that in mind, he said, this day's coming. And so imagine what it's like for Peter as Peter's trying to make people understand that this day is coming. Imagine you're the person that knows that changing channels in Ocean Isle is going to burn down. You just don't know when. And you tell people, get out, it's going to burn. And you tell them that week after week and month after month and year after year. How about after 10 or 15 or 20 years and people have still been going in and having a great time and everything's good? How many people would just finally say, it ain't ever going to happen. You had it wrong. As a matter of fact, who believes that at a point people would finally say, you're an idiot. Just shut up. Leave us alone. How many people would think, you are embarrassing yourself. Stop saying that this place is going to burn down. You started saying that. People started saying that. What? In the 1950s, and it's still here, and it's still going, and it's never going to change. Well, Peter then goes on to say this, and it's in verses 3 and 4 of that of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and he says this, above all, you must remember that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Actually, he says, above all, you must understand. Just understand this. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, things go on, or ever since our ancestors died, things go on as they have since the beginning of creation. Peter's saying, you got to understand it. After people have been warned for a long, long time, people are finally going to say, you're an idiot. They're going to make fun of you for even saying it. And they're going to say, ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning. It ain't going to happen. Just shut up. And so the point then that Peter makes is this, is that most choose to believe it's not going to happen. And when we say choose to believe it's not going to happen, verse 5, he says, they deliberately forget. Do you know that you and I have this tendency as human beings? We don't like thinking about things that are uncomfortable. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't like thinking about things. I don't like thinking about bills when I hadn't got the money and I hadn't managed it right. I don't like thinking about the stuff that I've got to face. I don't like to think about the starving children. I don't like to think about things that make me uncomfortable. They deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. So they deliberately forget that God's the one that spoke and all this came to being, all of it. And then he says, and by these same waters, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Y'all remember the flood that came when God said, I'm going to get rid of all the evil in. He said, they forget that God deals with evil. And they forget that God deluged and destroyed the world by flood at that time. He said, by the same word that God spoke the creation and the order, by the same word, he said, I'm going to flood it and I'm going to get rid of evil. He said, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So you get the picture of Peter saying, he's saying, they forget that God dealt with sin and wickedness one time through the flood. And they forget that by the same word that he spoke this order into creation, that he spoke that flood was coming, he has already said, I am reserving this world for fire for the destruction of the ungodly, the judgment of those who choose to rebel against me. So here's the promise. It's God saying, it's coming. Then he says in verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. How many people think, man, how long has it been since Peter said that? It hadn't been just decades or centuries. It's going on millennia. It's nearly 2,000 years. 2,000 years, and we're going like, it's never going to happen. And he says, don't forget, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. It's only been a couple of days, and it could happen any second, Peter's saying. But he's not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's saying, why am I not doing it? You keep crying out, God, when are you going to deal with the evil? And he's saying, the reason I hadn't dealt with it yet is because if I did, I'd have to deal with you. If I did, I'd have to take you out. And so I'm patient with you. I don't want anybody to be in the horror that is coming. And so that's the reason why he gives us even the patience he has with us now. So if he's talking about, Peter says that he promises it's going to be destroyed by fire, why is he going back and talking about a flood again? This is the third time that Peter's used the example of the flood. It's real simple. Peter and his friends had gone to Jesus right before Jesus was going to leave this earth. It's in Matthew chapter 24. And in verse 37, you can read it because they have asked Jesus, when is all this going to happen? And when is the coming of the age? When is the day of the Lord coming? When are you going to deal with the evil? And when are we going to have to be ready? And Jesus said this to Peter, verse 37, and to the other apostles. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage up until the day that Noah entered the ark. Yet they did not realize what was going to happen until the flood came and took them away. He said, and so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So he's saying, here's what's going to happen. Is people are just going to be living life. Yesterday I did a beautiful wedding down at a place in Polly's Island, and it was wonderful, and a wonderful meal afterwards. And we're sitting there doing marriage vows where we're talking about a lifetime together, and we're all enjoying this beautiful, beautiful creation. And we're going like, oh, this is wonderful. And Jesus said, that's how it's going to be. You're going to think you got a whole lifetime ahead of you. You're going to think that everything's soaring and everything's good, and you're just going to be eating and drinking, and you're just going to be going on with your lives, and you're going to be thinking, it really isn't going to happen. I'm not even thinking about that. And he said, that's how it's going to be. How many people have ever just been eating and drinking like that? Just being with friends and people you love. You'll go this afternoon and go out someplace to eat. Right? Now, if you know of a little restaurant called Le Petit Combourge, you familiar with it? All right, Le Petit Combourge is that restaurant. And it happens to be the restaurant where a bunch of people, at least two guys, piled out of a car and opened up with machine gun fire just this week. And sitting in that restaurant eating is a precious girl, 23 years old, and her name is Noemi Gonzalez. So Noemi Gonzalez is sitting in that restaurant. She's a senior at California State University, Long Beach, and she's studying for design, and she's thinking, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I'm going to be designing. I'm going to Paris to learn about design, and everything's great, and I'm sitting at a restaurant, one of the famous restaurants that you can just enjoy in Paris, and here I am, and then in a flash, in an instant, it's all over. And Jesus said, that's exactly how it's going to be. But you know what you and I all have a tendency to do? Is that we have a tendency when we begin to process all that, we start processing that in a way that says, but it ain't going to happen to me. And it ain't going to happen to the people that I love. There's almost this thing where we kind of rationalize away whatever we hear, and we always think that's going to happen to somebody else. And we usually like it if we can find a reason why it happened to them. Well, they were in the accident because they were drinking and driving. Even after that terrible thing happened in North Carolina at the beach house, people were saying, well, you know, they were from a fraternity and a sorority and the Sigma Alpha Epsilon and the Tri Delta, they were there together, and so they were probably just partying, and I'm going like, God, is that the most horrific, wicked thinking? But that's where our minds go. The reality is they were great kids just like my kids, and they're precious to God just like you and I love and cherish our own children, and there they are, and Jesus was at one point talking with some of the people, and they reminded Jesus, they talked about the Galileans. This is in Luke chapter 13. Some Galileans had actually been under what would be like a terrorist attack, except it was from Pilate. And Pilate had taken their blood and mixed it with the sacrifice. And so it was a horrific thing that had happened to these Galileans, and everybody's talking to Jesus about it. Like, did you hear what happened to them? Did you hear what happened to them? Did you hear what happened to them? And Jesus' response to that was to say this: do you think that these Galileans were more sinful than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? He said, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you also will all perish. And then he said, or the 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. He said, do you think they were more guilty than all the other people living in Jerusalem? So this tower had fallen on those people in Jerusalem. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? He said, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too all will perish. So you get the picture. Jesus is saying, don't think somehow when you hear about some tragic shortening of life that it happens. It happens in a beach house, or it happens in front of a restaurant, or it happens at a soccer field, or it happens while you're watching a concert. Don't think for a second that it means that somehow those people were more wicked than you, or somehow they were more guilty than you, or somehow you're somehow better or in a safer spot. He's saying, don't think that for a second, because here's the reality. Death is coming for you, and you better be ready. You also must repent, because if you don't, it's going to come in a flash for you just like it came as a flash for them. And so, with that thought in mind, Jesus is making it clear to these guys, your death, your own life is a breath, it's a blink. And he said, you got to be ready. If you don't repent, you too are in the same spot that they are. And Peter is saying, and guess what? The whole world, the death of us all, the destruction of the entire world, the heavens and the earth, he said, all that's going to happen. It's going to come like a thief in verse 10. He says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. He said, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Why? What's holy? Holy, again, is not wearing sandals and acting weird. Holy is not acting more spiritual than other people. To be holy is to be set apart. And what Peter's saying is look, this thing's going to burn. It's like somebody going up to that beach house and saying, this beach house is going to burn down. Come out from it. Get away from it. And don't ever go back in it. And Peter's saying, if you know it's going to burn, get out of it. Get away from it and never go back in it. Don't ever forget what I'm telling you. It's going to burn. It's going to burn, and it's going to burn in a flash, and there's not going to be a chance for you to respond when it happens. And so deal with it now. Be saved now. Because if you aren't saved now, you're not going to have a chance then. And so Peter is saying, since everything's going to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to be holy. You ought to live holy lives. Separate from it. Get out. Get away from it. Never go back there again. Holy and godly lives. And then he says, as you look forward to the day of the Lord and speed its coming, remember what the prophets were saying is look, here's the good news. I'm going to deal with all the evil on the planet. I just don't want you to be among the evil I have to deal with. I want you to be safe from that. I want you to be forgiven, and I want to be working in your hearts to make you holy so that when it comes time to deal with that, I'm not having to deal with you. And so with that promise, he says, you ought to be looking forward to it. If you're out and safe, because he said, that's when I'm going to get rid of the terrorists. I'm going to get rid of the wicked. I'm going to get rid of the adulterers. I'm going to get rid of the liars. I'm going to get rid of those who are abusive and hateful and wicked and the racist and all the horrible people on the earth. I'm going to get rid of them all. That's good news. And so he said, that day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, or where righteousness dwells. He's saying, here's the good news. Guys, when I deal with all the evil, if you're out and safe, then I'm going to get rid of all the evil, and all those who have been rescued by me and brought into relationship with me will be brought together into a new heaven and a new earth where we love each other. And people don't hurt each other anymore. Anybody like that idea?
And he's saying, that's what we're looking forward to. And so then he says, since then, dear friends, or so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, he tells them, make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Since you want to be out away from that and you don't want to face destruction and you are looking forward to a time when there'll be love for God and love for others and nothing else, you make sure that you don't get in that mess. And so then listen to this. Since it is going to happen, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Y'all, that doesn't happen in our world of Christianity. We have become effortless Christians. And tune into that thought. We have become effortless Christians. We think that, oh, well, Jesus died for me, and so it really doesn't matter, and everything's good. And as effortless Christians, we have become complacent and apathetic. We don't even care about the fact that that burning building is filled with people that we love. And he says, you have become apathetic. You aren't doing what Scripture talks about, what Peter talked about, what Paul talked about, things like making every effort, like striving with all my heart, like truly pressing on to be everything God's called me to be. He said, you ought to be making every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. And so here's the truth, is that you and I hear from Peter an invitation to something today that is absolutely crucial. Peter was saying to you and he was saying to me, and right now he wants all of us to tune into it with all of our hearts, and that is this. He's saying, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. And it's imperative that you and those that you love be safe before it happens. When that fire started in Changing Channels, the folks who were in the house said by the time there was an alarm, it was too late for the people who were trapped to get out. And Jesus is saying, that's how it's going to be when I come. It's not going to be like I get to hear the alarm. And so here's the first invitation. There are some of you here who are Christians. And as Christians, you are living effortless Christianity. And when I say effortless, I mean you're making no effort to be spotless or blameless or at peace with him. You're making no effort to be holy. You're making no effort to be holy. Do you understand what that means? It means you aren't making an effort to stay out of that house. You're actually in a place where it's like, I'm going to stay in the house. I'm going to party. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And whenever I hear the alarm, I'm going to run out because I'm saved. And can you hear God saying to you, you're not safe at all. You're not safe at all. You're making no effort to be holy. You're making no effort to separate yourself from that which is going to be burned and destroyed. You're making no effort to not be among those that I'll have to come to deal with. And he's saying, here's the truth. What you need to be called to today is the recognition that when I came to save you, I came to save you out of that place, to remove you from that place, to actually work in your heart to make you who you were called to be. And so you need to come out and you need to stay with me, Jesus says, and you need to never go back in there again, ever. It doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you won't mess up. It doesn't mean that if you mess up that God's going to send you to hell. None of that. But it does mean this. If you decide in your mind that I'm going to make no effort to be holy, I'm going to go ahead back into that sin, I'm going to go back in that place that he's already said he will destroy and think somehow I'm safe, he said, you're not safe in there. Make every effort to remain with the one who has saved you. And so somebody here today has a huge step to make, and that is the step of coming to this altar and saying to God, I have been living effortless Christianity. I have made no effort to keep myself separate from a world that rebels against you and sins against you. I've made no effort to be any different than those that I believe God's coming to destroy. I've somehow become complacent and apathetic, and I've just been living my life as though I can live where you told me not to live and somehow get out at the last minute. But I'm telling you, God's saying to you, I came to save you out of that. Now come to me and be saved out of it. Second invitation is to somebody here who's like, you just realize it. I'm among those
that Peter talked about when he said, in the last days there'll be scoffers, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. And right now you're in a place where you're going like, that's me. That's me. I've been sitting here thinking, people are idiots for saying, you know, the world's going to end and Jesus is coming back and all that kind of stuff. It's silly. They've been saying that for 2,000 years. They've been saying that for 2,000 years. It ain't going to happen. My grandmama used to talk about it, and that's been years and years and years ago. It's never happened. They keep on talking about like, it might come back today. It might come back today. It's no big deal. It's not going to happen. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And he's saying, I'm holding back the spark that sets this inferno in desperation that you would get your behind out of there before you're among the ones that I have to destroy. Get out. And so then, the last invitation is this. The last invitation is to those who, when I think about those precious kids in that house, some of them probably went to heaven because of a relationship with God and others of them didn't. But the reality of what Jesus said was this. He said, I'm coming. I'm coming. And I'm coming to take those who are in relationship with me into paradise, the home of righteousness. But this earth and everything in it will be destroyed. The heavens and the earth will be consumed. And he's saying, I will destroy all evil. And the one reason he left us on the planet is to get that word to everybody that we possibly can, to talk everyone out of that building that we possibly can. I want you to imagine what it would be like to be Trip. Trip is the young man who jumped from the second floor, just barely escaping with his life. And imagine Trip, what he would do if he knew this was going to happen and he could go back to his friends. He would spend the rest of his life doing anything he could to keep his friends from ever being in that building. He would do whatever he could to get those who were in there out, to keep anybody else from going in, to get anybody that has come out from going back in. I don't ever want anybody back in that place. It's horrific. It's dangerous. But how about you and me? Do you have brothers and sisters, neighbors across the street, people you work with, people you go to school with? Do you have people that you would say that you love? And they're in that house. And Peter's already said, it is going to go in a flash. They're in a place far from God. And God's saying, have you become so apathetic that it doesn't concern you? Or are you ready to be one who would say, at all costs, whatever it takes, I'll do whatever I can to talk those I love out of that place and into the arms of Jesus and into a place where they are safe and forgiven and made fit for heaven, because it's going to happen. So guys, your invitation is here, and I want to invite anybody here to the altar who is in those places. Are you a person who's a Christian, and yet you aren't even making any effort to be holy? You're a Christian and you're living in the same sin that you say that Jesus is coming to destroy. And he's saying, I'm inviting you out of it today to come to me in reality and let me save you from it and forgive you and begin to change you. Secondly, are you a person who has never given your life to Christ and you thought, oh, that's just religious talk. It's never going to happen. And you hear him saying today, oh, it is going to happen. And I've been patient waiting on you. And the spark that sets this inferno may come in a flash. Today is your day. Get your behind out today. And then third, is there anybody here who thinks, God, I cannot believe I've been so complacent and apathetic about all the people I love who are still in that horribly dangerous condition and who still don't know Jesus? And they don't know his salvation and his forgiveness, and they don't know his spirit coming in to begin changing their lives. And I'm going to do everything I can to get them out. We invite you to stand. We invite you to come.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.